Kieran Canavan, your career has been one embedded in politics for 20 years. You had many roles, including at one stage leading the Progressive Democrat Party. And you've now stepped back. Tell me a little bit about that experience, both the experience of being in politics, being a minister, and stepping away from it.
Thanks, Brian, and thanks for the opportunity to speak with you today. Really appreciate it. Yes, I spent 20 years in the world of politics, about 3 years in local politics in Galway, and then the subsequent 17 years in the Oireachtas, a few couple of years in the Shannon, and the rest spent in the Dáil. I've always said that politics is an extension, a natural extension of community activism, Brian, and I fundamentally believe that the vast majority of people who get involved in politics around the world do so from a perspective of trying to improve the lives of, first of all, their locality and ultimately their country, and perhaps even if they get an opportunity, go on to shape the world that we live in. And I was very actively involved in my local community from way back in my teens. It kind of made sense to me to be that way and was kind of instilled in me by my mother and father, and indeed by the community I was raised in. And then in 2000, the year 2000, I assumed the role of a chief executive of a wonderful charity that's still thriving and succeeding to this day, called the Rise and Shine Trust, and it supports children with learning difficulties and learning needs. And then I began to think of how I could continue to make a contribution in some shape or form, and I was elected to Galway County Council in 2004. Then I was appointed to the Shannon in 2007. And to be honest, my kind of my North Star, my guiding light throughout all of that time, and as I said earlier, I would expect it is that of all people who get involved in politics, was to try and make a difference. So I spent 20 years doing that, enjoyed it immensely, enjoyed every single day of it, privileged to serve as a Minister of State in the Department of Education from 2011 to 2014, and then in the Minister responsible for our overseas development programme and nurturing and supporting our substantial diaspora community. I worked as a Minister of State in the Department of Foreign Affairs from 2016 to 2020. So, and then I decided early of last year that I was concerned I was beginning not to enjoy it, Brian, and that is not a place I wanted to be. I felt I had made a significant enough contribution from my own perspective. I'll be 60 in a couple of months' time, and it kind of caused me to reflect on what I wanted to do for the remainder of my working life, and which hopefully will extend for many years to come. And I chose to leave politics and pursue another opportunity.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me specifically, the role that you played. And obviously, your interest in children going right back to your charity days, the role that you played within the education department, and how you might have seen it once you were inside looking out, our education system, both here in Ireland and obviously education in the broadest sense. Any learnings from that? Any observations? Anything that you would reflect positively on, or in terms of the role that you have now looking forward?
Well, it was a really challenging time because it was 2011. It was the Fine Gael Labour government coming in to try and rescue an economy, rescue a society that was in serious danger of just falling apart. All of the things that we had come to know and trust were beginning to be threatened. The whole global economy was on the floor. And at the time, look, Brian, I've always believed in the transformative power of education. My mother was a primary school teacher. Her sister was a primary school teacher. Again, it was instilled in me. If you want to change the world, do it through education. We saw the extraordinary change in Ireland through Donal O'Malley's intervention and others back in the 1960s. And the Ireland of my dad and the Ireland of my son are like two different countries. They're not remotely alike in terms of the opportunities presenting to the current generation. So back then in 2011, Enda Kenny was a Taoiseach. I was appointed in the role of Minister for Training and Skills. And he simply said to me, there are significant reforms required now across our whole training and skills development infrastructure. It is somewhat out of date in terms of the needs of a new emerging economy. And the new emerging economy was around technology, medical devices, financial services, pharmaceutical. These were all the hopes, the future for Ireland at the time. So we worked with phenomenal people in education, teachers, academics, leaders, those some very, very talented and deeply committed civil servants in the Department of Education in Marlborough Street. And we set about reimagining how we could deliver training and skills in Ireland. Solace came into being as part of that. It was, in fact, we developed, and it was strange, up to that point, Brian, up to 2011, Ireland as a country had never sat down and decided, what do we want from our for the FET sector? And we didn't even have a national strategy as to how we would create that and sustain that. So we passed a piece of legislation called the Further Education and Training Act in 2014. That then led to the development of the first ever Further Ed strategy for the whole of Ireland. And then we set about making that happen. I was the chair of the implementation group of that strategy. So right around then, Brian, if you said to somebody, and you know this, you've been talking about this for a very long time, what are the career options for my son or my daughter? Well, back then, and to, I would argue to a significant degree right now, there was still a huge focus on third level, and rightly so to an extent. But there was no appreciation of the value of that other route into the world of work, the apprenticeship route, the FET route. So,
and we're now, what, 77 apprenticeships are growing.
We are.
It's been absolutely phenomenal.
And you know, we knew that this could work because we'd seen countries like Germany and Austria having done this for generations. And we created that environment. And at the time, there were about 15 or 16 apprenticeship career paths that one could embark upon. And now, as you say, we're approaching 80. And they stretch, those opportunities weave their way into all of those industries I just mentioned. So if you want to become an expert in cybersecurity and making a really impactful contribution in that industry, and obviously the cybersecurity needs of the whole of you know, civil society and indeed industry in general are increasing all the time, you can become that person without ever setting foot in a university. So, you know, we were really anxious to...
It was transformation.
It was transformation. I mean, it was,
I'm working in it. I'm still chairing a number of further education boards myself.
Yes.
So I know what you've achieved, and it has made a huge contribution. But you stepped back last year, Ciarán.
I did. I stepped back last year, and it's funny, during my time in the department, you will recall, Brian, the whole Project Mats changeover, the project. And it was a time when we decided the way that we were teaching mathematics just didn't fit the needs of the learners or indeed the needs of industry again, that it was all about rote learning and regurgitation. You know, you and I had sat down and diligently done our 8x tables and our 9x tables and then going on to the extremely complex kind of trigonometry and all the other stuff and stuff we learned at second level. But the applicability of that in the real world environment wasn't really apparent to us as students. And indeed, so Project Maths set about changing that, but it did it very successfully. But that changeover was really problematic for a lot of students who found themselves having gone from the traditional learning mechanisms, pedagogy.
And from some of the teachers.
And from exactly. So I worked for the time with a great guy called Bernard Kirk, who was the head of the Teacher Education Centre in Galway, and a number of really talented and very committed and civic-minded maths teachers. And we devised a programme, a learning opportunity for students and teachers to help them migrate successfully from the old traditional way of teaching over to the Project Maths model. And we did it, we created it, and then we kind of began scratching our heads as how are we going to propagate this throughout the education system? And I had heard of Allison, this Galway-based company that had the mission and the ethos of providing learning for free to the world. But not alone that, it had the infrastructure, it had the technology to do that on a massive scale, on a systemic scale. So we approached Mike Feerick, and this is back in 2012 now, bear in mind, which is, what, 13 years ago, and said, we have this idea to offer this program for free to all of our teachers and students across the country. We've nowhere to host it. Would you mind hosting it? And he jumped to the opportunity because it tied in exactly with his ambition as to how Allison could be used. So in Mayo, in a secondary school in Mayo in 2012, the Taoiseach Enda Kenny, myself as Minister of State in the Department of Education, the aforementioned Bernard and those very talented maths teachers, and indeed Mike Feerick, we all gathered that day to launch that Project Maths programme on Allison.com. And it's still there to this day, and it's still as relevant and as effective and as powerful as it was back then. So that was my first interaction with the idea and the concept and the mission of Allison. And then as it became apparent last year that I was no longer going to be involved in politics, Mike, the founder of Allison, who happens to live about 15 minutes from me, coincidentally, will you go for a cup of tea? And we went for several cups of tea. And at the end of that, we decided to work, that I would go work with Mike on the Allison project. Because
looking at it now, it seems a natural progression, Kieran.
It was, and it is, and I couldn't be happier. You know, when I spoke with my wife, my partner, the person who I rely wholly on for wisdom and for advice and for, you know, working with me throughout my political career, I said, you know, I want to do something that remains deeply impactful from a societal perspective. I want to do something that I get up in the morning and, you know, this work actually matters. So Allison was the perfect fit. And Allison also then drew upon my experience of having worked in the whole area of FET, further education and training, for the guts of, you know, 5 or 6 years. And also I worked with Bernard Kirk and indeed a number of other teachers in launching Excited, the digital education movement, again back around 2012, to try and advocate for the greater use of technology in our schools. So the whole thing was just the perfect fit. And I'm here now working with Mike and with a team of 170 staff across 31 countries, again, proving the power of the internet to bring people together and allow you to assemble a really talented workforce from across the world, based with a HQ based here in Galway.
Which is an immense achievement for a small little country like Ireland, and for what Mike has achieved. And I'm very aware of his work, and I've worked with him myself over the years. When you find yourself now within Allison and you look at the potential for that niche, that online education piece, and I mean, I've been in Africa and I've been there, and you know, you're out in the bush and you see this dish, and that dish is that community's access to the wider world.
Correct.
And to educating their community, which is basically possibly hours drives away from the next nearest point of civilization. And yet through that link, Allison and others in that field can help to transform the lives of those people. And it's very hard for us in Ireland to even conceive of that if you actually haven't physically stood there in the middle of nowhere, having taken hours to get there and look at that dish and see that ultimately with that dish and with that communication technology, they can bring what Allison has to offer into the lives of these people who, other than that, have literally mud huts, being truthful, you know?
Yeah, so that's exactly the point of Allison, Brian, and it was exactly the vision that Mike had back in 2007 when he founded Allison. And the case he made was that every person on this planet, irrespective of geography, background, family resources, should have access to world-class educational opportunities. And he, as you point out, what he has set out to do, and very successfully set out to do, with 45 million people registered on Allison as of today, is to use the internet to bring education to wherever it needs to go. And his argument is that once you develop the learning content, and, you know, we spend a lot of time at Allison working with subject matter experts all around the world. You know, we've 5,500 courses now, moving slowly, quite quickly, actually, towards 6,000. All of them being developed by subject matter experts. All of them are accredited by CPD UK, but all of them are accessible now to anybody who has a smartphone in their hand. So, and his argument was, way back in 2007, when the technology wasn't quite as advanced as it is now, was that, you know, the mission needed to be to bring education to the people that wanted it. So irrespective of your background, you deserved to have that opportunity to go wherever you wanted to go in terms of your educational journey and your career path. So that's what Allison does every day now. And it does that. Yeah. It's based, headquartered here in Galway, in the west of Ireland. But as I say, we have a team of 170 people in 31 countries, all of whom share that absolute ambition to make education free for everybody across the world. Yeah. And that wasn't possible, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And what we've done...
And you're taking on a lot of, you know, interest groups in that, because for a lot of people, education is their business. And when you come in and offering it for free, you know, you may not be as welcome as you would like to be, you know. So effectively, there's a lot of challenges there for Allison. Can I ask you, Kieran, in relation to Ireland, the domestic market in Ireland, what role do you see for Alison in that highly developed education system where, in truth, the online aspect is the added extra, whereas in other parts of the world, it's the core of
Correct.
what they have?
And exactly the phrase you use, the added extra. There are 5,500 courses there. We've just under 500,000 people registered in Ireland on Alison. And these are people that have come of their own volition to seek out the opportunities that Alison offers. And it's about rounding out themselves as an individual. So, and oftentimes, Brian, for a lot of them, it's about saying, well, I think I would like to become a digital marketeer or a project manager or somebody working in the healthcare setting, but I don't really know how I'd begin that journey. Well, Alison is the chance to dip your toe, to get your foot on the first or second rung of that ladder, and for free, just to go down that particular educational path. And, you might find out in 2 or 3 months' time, that really wasn't for me. Well, nothing's lost, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So what
it's
Alison...
It's an awful lot easier, Kieran, than going off to college, paying your 3,000 registration charge and incurring a debt of maybe 8 or 9,000 for accommodation, and then finding after Christmas that ultimately you're in the wrong place and having to go home to mammy and daddy and tell them, maybe I didn't choose well last year. To do it on Alison for a period of months and really find this is my thing, and then find it's almost like the further education route, which we're both very aware of, where you can do the level 5 further education program for a year and then commit to the CAO and to a university degree. So Alison, in a sense, is that toe in the water for some people, or for other people, because of their age profile, family commitments and responsibilities, it is the core of how they are going to move their educational journey forward.
It is. And I was reading a really interesting piece of research just published a couple of days ago from Georgetown University in the US on the future of education and the future world of work. And they've taken us right up to 2031. And they said that by 2031, and really in-depth piece of research, that 60% of the jobs available globally will not require a third level degree. And we're increasingly now seeing, particularly people in the tech industry, engaging in what they call skills-based hiring. Show me what you know today. I don't care what you knew 10, 15, 20 years ago. I don't want to see your first class honours degree from whatever institute it might be. What do you bring to the table right now in terms of your skill set? And what Alison allows you to do is constantly update and innovate that skill set so that it reflects the needs of the labour market right now. And as you say, and thankfully, one of the, I would argue, the greatest contribution recent governments have made to the development of Ireland as a country is the National Broadband Plan. And we're now seeing a lot of families deciding to base themselves in what I would call typically rural, remote locations all along the Western Seaboard. They're coming back into perhaps the village that they were raised in, and they're all working remotely. They can make an extraordinary contribution to the Irish and global economy online, but also using the Alison platform, they can constantly update and, as I say, innovate in terms of their own skill set and what they bring to the table. So Alison is all of that, and it's all of that for free. There is no commitment. And people often ask the question, and I'll very quickly explain, how does Mike Feerick do this for free? And he very carefully established that model back in 2007 so that this offering a free education for all, irrespective of geography or circumstance, could be funded with a really unique and innovative funding model. So Mike does not need to go to government every year to keep Alison online. He doesn't need to seek out support from NGOs or from the EU or from any other entity. We've graduated a million people since the 1st of January, for example. So that's the scale of what Alison does every day all across the world. And out of those million people, about 15% who have all gone through the same free opportunity, they've accessed the content, they've done the learning, they've done the assessment, they've been awarded their mark. But for 15% of them, they want to go one step further and they say, I'd like a little certificate, be it a PDF or be it a parchment I can hang on my bedroom or my office wall. They pay. And there's no obligation upon them to pay. They pay out of their own volition, and they fund what I would argue is a global movement for free education. So that's essentially what keeps Alison working and what pays those 170 staff across 31 countries every day. So it's an extraordinary model, and it's an extraordinary contribution to global.
And it gives you a whole new sense. And one of the roles I now have at this stage of my life is second life planning. and finding purpose and meaning in
Yes.
that second life after you give up the day job, so to speak.
Yes.
And I can see within that the potential in what you're now doing with Alison, to be truly transformative in a totally different way as you were in national politics. One of
Yes.
the things that you are doing now in Alison is this new TY certification process. Could you explain what that is to
Sure.
our viewers here?
Thank you, Brian. Yes, of course. So a lot of us, well, probably neither you or I, Brian, went through the TY experience, but a lot of us have children who went through that in recent times. And the Department of Education, I think it was back around 2022, 2023, decided that the delivery of transition year as we know it, and I have huge respect for the thinking and the methodology underpinning that TY experience. It's a wonderful idea, and I expect, in fact, I've spoken to a lot of other ministers for education around the world when I was in the role, and they looked to Ireland as an example of how to do this really well. But we decided, the department decided back in 2022, 2023, that it just wasn't working consistently well across all school settings, and that they needed to standardize the TY experience to ensure that it provided, I suppose, the most enriching and rewarding experience for those young people at a crucially important time in their lives, a very a formative time in their lives when they're deciding who am I and what contribution do I want to make to the world. So they set about assembling a group of experts in pedagogy and other subject matters, and they produced a new program statement, which is essentially setting out a standardized approach to TY across the whole school system. And it's about, preparing those TY students for adult life. And it's about project-based learning. It's about ensuring that at the end of that year, they have developed some really key competencies. They understand the concept of citizenship, sustainability, their own well-being. There's a huge focus on that. So we in Alison, quickly acknowledged back in 2024 when this new TY program was launched, that we already had all of the tools necessary to provide that enriching experience for students and indeed to aid teachers in providing it. So we sat down and worked with some TY coordinators and teachers and other, again, pedagogical experts, and we devised a program called TY Certified. And that essentially ties in, aligns exactly with the ambitions of the reforms that have been carried out for the TY experience. So it covers your workplace skills, digital literacy, problem solving, critical thinking. It then allows you to dip your toe, something we spoke about earlier on, into different subject matters and maybe even decide, do I want to go work in the whole world of hospitality or the whole world of tech? There's a lot of real world practical learning, how to work in a team, stress and mental health, how do you cope and manage that? And then the whole area of social citizenship, which is a really strong pillar of the new TY program around sustainability, around gender equality, around community development. There's a big, big strand there on community development and actually giving back to your community during that year in TY. So we now have all of that created and online in a program that we have called TY Certified. And it's just, I've met now with a number of TY coordinators who are already using it. As of this September, about just under 1,500 students around the country will be engaging in that TY certified opportunity for the whole year. And it enables those students just to avail of new learning experiences that otherwise would not have been available to them in the past, again, using the internet, using those courses. And it allows teachers and the TY coordinators, and being a TY coordinator is an incredibly serious role. It's a serious burden and a serious workload. So what we're doing is to try and give the TY coordinator a structured learning management system that can track, assign courses, track each student's progress, and measure and report back on. And again, there's a significant reporting requirement within that new TY structure developed by the department. So it supports TY coordinators in being as effective as they possibly can be and their role throughout that whole year. And it supports students in having the most enriching experience they could possibly have during that year. We're really proud of it. And frankly, Brian, I want to go out there and tell school principals across Ireland that this is a wonderful opportunity available at little or no cost. And we've confirmed with the department all of the costs associated with this, and they are minimal, are already covered by the school book grant, which again has been another very positive development for teachers and students and parents across the whole school system.
So if I'm a principal or I'm a TY coordinator and I'm looking at this online, Kieran, what do I do now? Or what are the steps possibly that would enable me, you know, maybe over the next year to integrate this into my TY planning for my particular school?
Well, we have a whole team within Alison who are now wholly and solely focused on that TY certified offering. It's headed up by a lady called Alana Timmins. And I'm also involved. I've been out now to meet a number of teachers. We also met with ETB Ireland about a month ago. We presented to them. They can email me. It's very simple. ccannon@alison.com. That's ccannon@alison.com. Or they can email Alana, and her email address is atimmins@alison.com. And when we get that email, we'll connect you up with that team. We'll go present to you if you wish. We'll talk you through the whole offering. And every single TY coordinator that is set in front of us for that presentation, one TY coordinator said this, and I'm describing exactly what was said here, this is a total game changer for me and my students. So, and that's what Alison is setting out to do. It's empower people throughout the world through education. And Alison would love to be able to make a far greater contribution to education here in Ireland. As I say, we've 45 million learners registered worldwide. I was on a call yesterday with the Indian government. I'm on a call tomorrow with the government in Sierra Leone. We had a meeting last week with legislators from West Virginia who want to use Alison for justice impacted people. Rather than sending them to prison, they would engage instead in learning. What a wonderful idea. So, but we want to make a contribution here in Ireland, because Ireland is our base. Ireland is our home. Ireland is the place where this all began. So I would say to those principals and those teachers, get in touch. Let us present to you what we have in terms of that really enriching experience for your students during TY. And you will come away, I would think, wanting to establish that relationship with Alison.
Well, look, Kieran, you know, literally going back thousands of years now, you know, Irish people were going out into the world as educators.
Oh, yeah.
5th and 6th century. Our religious went in the last 100 years all over the world and established educational opportunities which enabled many embryonic countries to evolve into full nations.
Yeah.
And I think that Alison in many ways is the continuation of that wonderful tradition within the island of Ireland of reaching out to educate around the world. And I think that within Alison, between yourself and Mike, you are continuing a rich tradition in Irish history, Irish culture, in which education is central to the experience of every living human being. And I congratulate you on what you're doing. And might I suggest that the opportunities that the TY certification offer, as somebody who's been involved in the education system for the last 50 years, it has been a transformative effect. But it's like individual blossoms going up all over the country where it's been really successful. And what you're doing is pulling together the best of that and offering it in a structured way to all schools. And I think it will be transformative in another way. So good luck with that. And good luck with the next chapter of your life, Kieran, which I think will be as rich, if not richer, than the one you've just stepped away from.
Thank you, Brian. And I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. It's been fascinating. Thanks very much indeed.